sometimes I will tell a graphic sex joke on stage. And that kind of stuff in particular, I'm like, I don't know if I want my mum or dad to hear that. So I very much ask, like, I think for the most part, I'm just like, don't come to see me live. If you want the recording, it's online, you can watch it. And they do, and they have, and they're very, like, supportive.
Hi, this is Helen from Asian Bitches Down Under. I have the pleasure today to introduce the upcoming, or already is a comedian star, Gunet Kaur. Gunet Kaur is a writer, stand-up comedian, and producer of Sydney's only woman's comedy night, Yay the Girls Comedy. She made her way onto Sydney's comedy scene a few years ago and has been leaving audience in stitches ever since. Gunet has become a Royal Comedy National Finalist in 2022 and has since performed at some of the most prestigious comedy clubs across the country, including the Comedy Store. Recently, she made her mark as a contributing writer on the hit ABC show Question Everything. So without further ado, let's welcome Gunet.
Yay! Hello, thank you for having me.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Very well, yeah. So I want to start with some of the personal background questions. Where did you grow up? What was your family and childhood like?
I have an Indian family. I grew up in Parramatta for the most of my life. My parents moved here when I was 4, so not technically second gen, but almost. I feel like it's second gen in spirit. But yeah, my parents moved to Parramatta and then it was pretty good. Like, it was pretty multicultural. My high school had kind of a population of almost everyone from everywhere. Oh, so yeah. It was very mixed.
I see. So before comedy, did you thought about any other careers or work? Or what did you study?
I have a bachelor's. Oh, actually an honours in psychology. I'm not using it. I don't know why I did it. I think for a while I wanted to be a psychologist, but I don't know. I got tired.
When and where did you start developing a love for comedy? Where did comedy all came from for you?
Well, I think I'm really weird because I think a lot of people, like comedians, will want to be comedians as children. They'll like watch comedy growing up and be like, oh wow, I want to do that. I had no idea I wanted to do comedy until I did comedy. Mm-hmm. I think what happened for me was a friend of mine signed up for a comedy night, and she kind of like encouraged me to sign up as well, and I was like, sure, I'll give it a go. And I fully believed that no one would have me on just because like no one had heard of me, so I was like, oh, there's no way they'll put me on the lineup, I'll just sign up, whatever. I signed up, and then they did put me on, so I panicked for a while. Mm. And then I eventually did my first set, and it went really well. And since then, I've just kind of been chasing the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Do you have any specific favorite comedians? I mean, I'm sure everyone watches comedy outside of their, work. Do you have a comedian?
I mean, yeah, there's so many great people in like the local Sydney scene as well. But like the bigger international ones, I really love James Acaster. It's probably one of my favorites.
Okay, so what sort of impact they had on your on the style of your comedy, you think?
I'm not really sure how. I've always found an interesting thing where obviously whatever art form, I'm using the word art very liberally here because I don't know how artistic comedy is. Because obviously, whatever you're doing, if you're creating something, I think you have to watch other people create to sort of influence your own work. But it's hard for me to say how exactly any one person, any one comedian has influenced my work, because I feel like I just try and be myself or a version of myself anyway. Yeah. So I don't think there's any direct correlation. It's hard to say.
Yeah, okay, I understand. Do you have a particular style of comedy that you like? I haven't been to enough comedy or stand-ups to categorize all the comedy styles, but in between maybe roasting others, punching up, self-deprecating has been one of the style. which one do you think that you prefer or you like the most?
I really like watching anyone who's doing anything a bit weird, just because I don't know how to do that. So Sam Campbell's great. Like, he's a bit absurdist with his comedy, so I think I appreciate anyone who's doing anything a little strange.
So where do you collect the stories, and what's the process of your writing comedies?
Well, I guess some of my comedy is observational. So some of it will be like, I'll notice something, or I'll have an observation that I think is funny, and then it's about fleshing that out and playing with it until I find out what the punchline is. Mm-hmm. Other times something will happen to me. Like, a lot of my comedy, I guess, is about things in my life. So sometimes it's about family. Sometimes it's about, like, people I've gone on dates with, or I've got jokes about my boyfriend, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. So, it's just things happen. And then if I think they're funny, I'll try and make jokes out of them.
Speaking of your family and your own relationship, what do you think about your own background and ethnicity associated with your comedy work? Have you received any feedback from your family? Have they actually watched you perform?
They've watched me, but not live, I think. they've wanted to come, but I get a bit awkward about it. It's my own neuroses and being just really neurotic. I get really nervous because, like, I think Indian culture is a bit more conservative than Western culture. I feel like that's the same with a lot of
Asian cultures. Yeah.
Yeah. So I get a bit nervous on that front, just because I feel like I'm very, like, liberal, and I'm not very conservative at all. And sometimes I will tell a graphic sex joke on stage, and that kind of stuff in particular, I'm like, I don't know if I want my mum or dad to hear that. So I very much I think for the most part, I'm just like, don't come to see me live. If you want the recording, it's online, you can watch it. And they do, and they have, and they're very, like, supportive. But because I'm neurotic and nervous, I've asked them not to come live so far.
Have you ever had any funny or unusual on stage experience, like when audience heckling you, or the audience just don't respond at all?
Sometimes you get a crowd that is not very responsive. I don't think it happens super often. I guess the worst is sometimes if you get booked for a gig and then it's a crowd full of people who are not from Australia, like backpacker-ish crowd. Maybe some of them, English is a second language, and it's not the easiest, so you don't get a lot out of them. That can be a bit rough. I don't get heckled a lot, thankfully. There's been once or twice where I've, like, had kind of some sexism in terms of heckles, and don't kind of stand out to me. But most of the time when I get heckled, I think a lot of the time it's people who are, like, drunk and supportive, and they want to be a part of the comedy. And they're just like, we'll say something nice, but it still kind of gets in the way of your jokes. So it's hard to deal with that a little bit. But overall, I don't deal with many mean hecklers or anything like that.
Amazing. That's great. Yeah. Well, my next question is similar to what I've just asked before. As a woman of color, your own observation of the comedy industry, what sort of challenges that you've seen, as a woman of color working in the comedy industry? I mean, across maybe Australia, or if possibly in the future working overseas.
I think there is this perception that if you're a minority, then you're getting more opportunities somehow, just off the basis of only being a minority. Like, there's this idea that, like, oh, well, if you're, especially as a queer woman of color, people sometimes will say, other comedians will sometimes offhandedly say things to me like, well, SBS would love you. And I'm like, okay, but they don't, and I still have to work hard for everything that I get and everything that I do. It's still, like, it's not just that you are a brown woman and people give you an award or a certificate for it. There's no, like, you know, there's no a scholarship. But yeah, there's this perception that because there's more of an emphasis on diversity now, that it must be easier. And I guess in some ways, I guess the positive is that it is easier to stand out. And I think that is a good thing. Like, your point of difference becomes a strength. But at the same time, you still have to work just as hard as everyone else.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I like to ask your opinions about the boundaries of political correctness.
Yeah, good.
It's becoming harder or easier to make jokes with all these, you know, ideas of cancel culture floating around in the past few years. I mean, where do comedians draw the lines of political correctness? I mean, I often wonder, can everything, every offending feeling be erased with the line, it's a joke? Where do you draw your line personally, you think, as a comedian?
For me personally, usually, unless I'm being tongue-in-cheek, in which case I think it's my responsibility for the audience to know, like, as a performer, if I'm saying something that I don't believe and it's important for the joke that you know that I don't believe it, that's my job to convey that. And if the audience as a whole doesn't understand that I don't really mean what I say, then that's like I failed in a sense. But like mostly as my goal when I like write jokes is, even if I'm being a bit mean or a bit like saying things that I don't really mean, it in a sense it's like, in the context of political correctness, I think just say what you stand by. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, I think if you kind of believe the premise of your jokes, or then that's kind of enough, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'm totally with that. What do you think of the idea that being a comedian, everyone assume that you're funny all the time? Have you came across with people just come up to you and ask you to present a joke, or have they, do you put your do you divide yourself, you know, outside of work, that you're just, you know, like everyday regular people, or your friends would assume that you, that now you're a comedian, you have a comedian title, we're gonna, you know, assume that you can be funny all the time. Have you ever come across with that situation?
It's less of an issue with friends. It's more of an issue with like strangers, I guess. Mm-hmm. So like the common trope is that if you're a comedian, you shouldn't tell Ubers or taxi drivers, because they either like will be like, tell you, they will either say, tell me a joke, or the other thing that they do sometimes is they start telling you jokes. Uh-huh. Like as a pitch, like you should put this in your set, and they'll start telling you a joke that has been around for years that people can read on the internet, and you're like, okay, well that's not quite how this works, but thank you. But yeah, sometimes it is a bit of that. Yeah, I remember like about a month ago I had to mail off some posters and flyers for the comedy festival in Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and the guy at the post office was just like, oh, you're a comedian, because he was looking at all these flyers and I was trying to get him to package them. And he was like, oh, you're a comedian, can you tell me a joke? And I was like, I'm just trying to get this shipped right now. Like, I'm actually in a bit of a rush right now. I'm not at work. You're at work, so you need to...
Your stuff.
I'm not telling you a joke. which sounds mean, but, like, I just, yeah, sometimes I don't feel like it's my job to entertain strangers on the street, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Somewhere that I read from about your bio, that you've been described by Sydney Morning Herald as both sharp and anxious.
Yeah.
Did you agree with everything that Sydney Morning Herald critics said? What do you think of that description of you? Do you think you're sharp? Obviously, you're very sharp. I feel like all the comedians need to be sharp and really all the time. Anxious, that's a funny way to describe a person.
I think that is a bit in a stage persona that I have. I think I'm a bit more neurotic on stage than it, definitely. But like, I don't mind that. It's just part of the, like, I think I'm definitely a version of myself on stage, and the version of me on stage is slightly more mentally ill.
Yeah, so you present yourself as a bit of an anxious person, I guess. Yeah, I've seen other comedians do it, and you know, people find that a little bit funny and, you know, amused by it. So final question, apart from I'm going to let our listeners know about your upcoming performance at the Amos Theatre, anything else apart from the Sydney Comedy Festival this year that you're preparing yourself for?
Oh, like I might do something for Fringe Comedy in September, but that's so far away. Yeah, just Sydney Comedy Festival, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for speaking with me today on the podcast. Tickets are on sale for the 2023 Sydney Comedy Festival. Gwyneth Cole will be performing on the 18th and the 19th at Emo Theatre. Yeah, so get your tickets now, and I'm not joking, I'm sure that you'll be absolute blast because I've seen you online. So for our listeners, go online, get your tickets and support the comedians. Actually, the final question is here, is where can our listeners find you on social media? Do you have a Instagram handle?
Yeah. It's my first name, Gunet, Gunet underscore, of course. So OFKAURSE.
Oh, that's amazing with the wordplay. Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you.
I'm on TikTok as well. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Bye.